Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Holtby. Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another week of Caps hockey, and they're still rolling. They're still winning. Still, well, when's it not good to be a Caps fan? We're the champs, for crying out loud. So, but yeah, another week, another good week, another three games, another three wins. This is not going to get old. Speaking of never getting old, I'd like to introduce my erstwhile partner. You know her well. She's the Fairfax teaching prodigy, the mermaid memeing mentalist. And she's another year older, another year sneakier, and a lot other things. She is the one and only beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox.
Happy Monday, Gal. Happy March 11th.
Yeah. Again with the happy Monday.
I know. I just can't. People were quite amused with the hump day conversation, but I'm like, well, I can't do that again. But yeah, but we can talk about how gorgeous the weather is. It's almost like it's Mother Nature was like, hey, it's Anna's birthday and she would like to see the sun. It's like, thanks, Mother Nature. Best present ever. So yeah, it was good. It was my birthday. So thank you to everyone who sent me really awesome messages. I heard from people like, sometimes you just got to love social media. Other times I can hate it, but this was, it's really cool for holidays and birthdays, especially. Like, you hear from people from kindergarten. I'm like, holy shit, I haven't heard from you forever. And you look the same. It's amazing. Yeah, it was good. It was an uneventful birthday, which sometimes that's okay. But the sun was out. Yay. What about you? How was your weekend?
Uneventful as well, aside from work.
Yeah.
The weekend did not start well for me weather-wise. We got that ridiculous snow on Friday.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Very annoying. And I really, 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 really hope it was the last of the snow that we get for the winter of 2018-19. Please, please, no more of that stuff. I'd almost rather have the oobleck from that Dr. Seuss story at this point. I'm so sick of snow. But not to be a downer, I'm glad you had a happy, happy birthday. And kind of sad that it was uneventful, but I guess we don't need the gory details.
I spent some time in my birthday suit, so it's okay. How's that? Not surprising.
That'll work.
Yeah.
No, not surprising at all.
No.
We all have to shower.
True. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. but yeah, and I'll say, your friend Pete Fisher is such a sweetheart, because this is the second year in a row he's offered to buy me a beer before the Jets Caps game at Bar Louie. And this is the second year I haven't been able to go. So I'm sorry. Tickets just got expensive. And then I hate to say it, but I'm like, on a school night, boo. But anyways, I was glad to watch it, because I thought of the three games, last night rocked. Yes.
Oh, they all rock. But yeah, that one.
Yeah, last night was just the exception, though. God. But oh, okay. Actually, you know what? Speaking of which, there's this whole like Twitter buzz going around about Tom Wilson making a comment that wasn't appropriate, that Alan May was talking about. He said it to Tanev, and Alame couldn't repeat it because it wasn't appropriate, but everyone's dying to know what he said. Do you know?
I kind of sort of heard about this. The whole thing was May wouldn't repeat it, and everybody's like, well, what did he say? What did he say? And I didn't really follow up on it because I kind of thought it was a joke.
Right.
But I guess it was a real thing.
Yeah. And so someone's like, oh.
Did anybody ever find out what he actually said?
No. I was looking on Twitter today, and there's like all these people out there have the same question, like, what the hell did Wilson say to Tanev? Like, what is going on? And people were, you know, tagging Alan May in the tweets and whatever else, and there's like there was no response. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we can all, like, some people might have been on when they're like, you know, Wilson said something about getting back at him for, you know, cheap shot on Koozie.
Right.
But I really feel like it was something more.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if somebody knows, like, you know, we'll find out soon enough. But
I think this is one of those things that we'll never actually know.
Well, no. Are you kidding? You know, somebody in here has recorded it and is lip reading and doing what they do. Like, the people want to know, and that's what I mean. Like, it's not like they were, you know, exchanging social security numbers or home addresses or something like that. I'm sure it was a threat, and
or queso, you know, queso recipes for that thing, that matter,
right? Like, that was a pretty big awesome birthday present there, Gil.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, Mrs. Blue Liner, but you did text it to me, so that does give you some credit.
Technically, the missus texted it to you.
Oh, you still owe me a present.
I thought we were square on that, but yeah, I think I can come up with something.
Okay, good, because I changed my mind. I want a gift.
Have to be. Okay. I will come up with something. Kidding. I'm sure.
I'm kidding.
No, you don't have to kid. I actually have something in mind that I'll tell you about later.
Is he tall, dark, and handsome, and wear number 43?
No.
God damn it.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
That's what she said. All right. So let's start talking about these games. I'm pumped.
Yes. Let's indeed. Okay. So when we last left you, you on the other side of the earbuds listening from hopefully either the Commonwealth of Virginia, State of Maryland, and or the District of Columbia. And if you're not, you're one of our hopefully loyal listeners from around the globe. So when we last left you, the last game played was, of course, the matinee win with the stick throwing incident against the Rangers on Sunday. Had 2 days off, and they traveled to Philly to play the Flyers, the right. surging Philadelphia Flyers, who had been on a tear and. Started their playoff run. This was going to be an interesting game no matter what. Quick rundown of the scoring summary. The guy we were just talking about, Tom Wilson, gets his 19th, opens up at 5:55. 5:55 of the first with a wrister, assisted by the captain and Dmitry Orlov. That was followed up 8.5 minutes later in the first by Brett Connolly with his 17th, increasing his career high.
Can we just pause it there for a sec?
I was going to stop it here because I'm looking at Wilson's goal total and he's on the verge of a 20 goal season.
I know. But that's not who I was going to talk about.
This would be a good. Oh, really?
Right. See.
Okay.
Now that I'm a year older and a year wiser. Yes, Tommy is always a good. I can talk about Tommy for days. Am I impressed? Yes. Does he look amazing? Yes. Do I love his pregame antics with Hagelin? Yes. But no, actually, I was going to talk about number 10. Brett Connolly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's my thing. Here's my two cents on Brett Conley. Love him. I truly do. I don't want him going anywhere. I love that he's scoring. I want him to stay out of the penalty box. I'm seeing too many stupid penalties from Brett Conley, and it's making me a little annoyed. So yay on the goals and the playing, boo on the stupid penalties. Stupid. Like he gets a goal and everyone's like, yay. And then like the next time it's like, and you know, number 10, 2 minute for hooking, 2 minute for tripping, 2 minute for, I don't know, being number 10. So that's all I was going to say. I just wanted to be sure that I brought it, that I mentioned it, because it had been sitting on, you know, well, no, I haven't really been thinking about that much, but when he was in the when he was in the sin bin, I think yesterday, I was like, the hell, number 10. So
I was going to say he must have retroactively or preemptively, or I don't know what the hell the word is, but he did not end up in the penalty box, at least in this game anyway, after scoring. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
But his goal was assisted by Carl Hagelin, who ended up having a pretty good week himself. More on that later. And Matt Niskanen.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the second period, Caps got an early power play there. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe it was a spillover. I'm trying to think. No, it's not a spillover. Okay, Matt Niskanen got tripped by Sean Couturier. And on the ensuing power play, Ovechkin gets his 46th on the power play, assisted by Backstrom and Carlson. And then who should come to call with what would end up being the game-winning goal? At 4:18 of the second, but Andrei Burakovsky, assisted by linemate Boyd and Orlov with his 19th assist, making it 4-0 Washington. Backstrom would score about a minute later with a wrister. Beautiful shot, by the way. Backstrom, again, underrated shooter, very underrated shooter. I was talking with a friend of mine at work about this. He really needs to shoot more because he's got a hell of a shot. But he gets his 16th, making it 5-0. I think they had either yanked the goalie after the fourth or fifth goal at that point. And then making a comeback, Flyers get the next three. Some guy named Myers, assisted by Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier, towards the end of the period, making it 5-1. And then Giroux himself would get his 20th within 10 seconds of the third period.
Yeah, that was not okay.
WTF? Question mark. A little bit of hand-wringing there. And then 7.5 minutes later, almost exactly, Lawton with his 10th. Making it 5-3. And then it was like, okay, all right, are we going to let another semi-bad team get away with a massive comeback here? But it turned out they clamped down and not too bad. So 5-3 ends up being the final score. The vitals of the game, Caps outshoot the Flyers 35-30. Faceoff dot, really bad night to forget. 69 turned out to be very fine a number for the Flyers
as a
percentage
number,
right? Win percentage. Yes, it is. But we won't talk about that here. Power play, Philly only got one, Caps got three, and they scored on one out of those three. Hitting game, of course, you had to figure the Flyers were going to come out swinging, and they did. Possession game. Well, it's a tale of two games, really. Caps tilted the ice, of course, in the first two periods, and then Philly more towards the end of the game. So, not really enthused about the letdown, but you know, once again, the offense bails the defense out by jumping out to a strong lead. Three stars of the game, captain number one star. Backstrom, number two. Claude Giroux gets the number three. Obvious hometown vote there. Just kidding. No, he did pretty good. Assist and a goal. That's not
right.
A bad game for any for anybody. No, I got to say, Claude Giroux, one of the underrated stars of the game. So I don't mind him getting some props.
I don't either. That's why I was totally kidding. I think he's kind of one of those, I don't know, those players that I feel that he like eats, drinks, bleeds hockey and is really intense about it, but really like wants to play smart hockey. Like, I don't think he goes out there for fights, and I don't think he goes out there to injure people, and I don't think he goes out there, you know, like a Marchand to, you know, be some a-hole on the ice. I truly think that he knows he's got talent and that is his life. And I agree with you. I don't mind, you know, watching him, because I feel like, you know, you can admire somebody with that skill, and he's fun to watch in the All-Star stuff.
Yeah, he's good player, good guy off the ice as well. I'd love to have somebody like that. I would love to have him on my team.
Of course.
And we're obviously building some friend points for our friend Carrie, who's the Flyers fan.
Yes.
I hope he's listening. But I kind of sent him a tweet, kind of kidding him. He was going through a rough time. His mom hasn't been feeling very well, and I sent him a tweet in just the day he was able to bring her home from the hospital. Said, your mom feeling better. Hopefully that takes the sting out of what's going to be a win against you guys. And he was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Very funny.
Yeah, but they're all,
No.
I'm kidding. He's not like that. He's a really great guy.
Fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he is. He is. And it's a good team. I everybody expected more out of them, but they kind of hit a rough patch. But, they're unfortunately, like a lot of teams, are running out of time. So hard to say, but, you know, had to can't take anybody lightly. We got our own SHIT to take care of.
Like spelling the words. Why don't you just say it?
Oh, there'll be more of that later.
Okay.
But 5-3 win, good game all around. Like I said, except for the last maybe 15 or 20 minutes. So coming back home for the next game, which was last Friday against the Devils. This was, don't want to overlook this one. I know we both like the Winnipeg game, but this one I thought was pretty good. Stop me if you've heard this before. Andre Burakovsky.
You thought this game was good?
The Devils game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was boring as fuck.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a great win, but I don't know. I found myself, you know, a little distracted and just kind of like, this game's kind of boring. But anyways, go on with your take.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm a little old fashioned, but I don't mind seeing, you know, tight checking, good defense and all that. So that stuff, I don't know. That doesn't really bore me. I mean, I don't need 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 goals or more to be stimulated while watching NHL hockey. I don't know.
Yeah. But I felt okay. Sidebar.
I hate to sound like a hockey snob, but
But you do. No, I thought it was a boring game. And I agree. Didn't need to be a high scoring game. No, because last night's Winnipeg game, I mean, 3-1, and it was 60 minutes of hockey. I just found the game to be a little meh.
Well, you know, to each their own, and I don't know. Was there something really about the flow of the game?
It was just the way. I don't know. I just played, I what? Yeah, maybe like nothing really. I wasn't looking for a fight. I don't have to have a fight every time. I don't have to have a Tommy, you know, drop the gloves as much as I love it. No. And kind of felt like they could have put a Copley in, although he rocked it last night. But I was a little concerned. I was like, I kind of want him in for a little bit. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Well, I tell you what, there probably wasn't, I don't think there was much flow when you look at the penalty. I was going to say there, you said something about not fighting. I thought there was going to be hands throwing when that guy, Curtis Gabriel, put that ridiculous hit on Dmitry Orlov.
True.
Ends up getting a 2-minute charge for it. But the guy jumps into the air, tries to make contact with Orlov's head. I mean, what other purpose would you leave your feet to make a hit?
With a guy that it was totally ridiculous.
And again, the on-ice officials did nothing or next to nothing except call a 2-minute charge. It wasn't a charge. Definition of a charge, okay? Take more than 2 steps before hitting a player. Okay, well, maybe he did that, but it's also interference. It also violates that rule against headshots because it was a clear attempt to make one. We're supposed to be cracking down on these guys, and they're just not doing it. And in that, this is going to be one of a few soapbox moments. But again, if the league continues to be lax about this, reap what you fucking sow. This is what's going to happen.
There we go.
But getting back to the penalties, there were in total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 penalties called. So that might have been. That's a bit of a disturbing to the flow, I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm glad that they didn't go into it thinking, oh, it's just New Jersey. You know, they're
a crappy team this year.
Well, I should say, who's rebuilding their team. But again, as a Capitals organization and fans or whatever you want to call it, don't ever need to take something for granted. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like you don't want to let your guard down. And then even with the Flyers, I mean, it's like, shit, you're up, 5-1 and we're kicking ass. And then all of a sudden it's getting a little too close for comfort. It's like, and yes, I freaking hate that show from the 80s. You said it last week and now it's like stuck in my head. It was the worst. But it's true. It's like, it's just really a little too comfortable there. And I mean,
the guy has a cow on his arm for crying out loud.
I know. What's that
all about?
It was really bad. It's bad acting. Just the whole show's stupid, but whatever. But so I didn't want them to go into New Jersey, only playing, 50-75%, but to have that many penalties, maybe that's just what it was. Maybe it was just like stupid penalties. It just kept going in the box and the game was just kind of dragging on. And for them being at home, I didn't, it just wasn't my favorite of the three. Of the three, it was my least favorite.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. And I don't know. It wasn't as bad for me, but maybe, like I said, maybe all the penalties contributed to it. It was a bit tighter a game. Although Washington had a clear shot advantage, if you look at the stats, 36-25. So Holtby had an average amount of shots to face and got the shutout. You'd never want to say he didn't earn it. I would say he did earn it. 25, that's still a good amount of shots, but he earned it.
He was playing a shit ton of games. So it was a good way for him to close out, just having the Jets off, because I'm assuming the upcoming three games he'll be in, well, maybe not for the Flyers, but definitely Penguins and definitely Tampa Bay. So, but it puts, it's good for him because we know it's how mental everything is with him. You know, you want to go out on a break on a high, and to go out on a shutout is fantastic.
Well, okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because there was something of a hoo-ha amongst our inner circle of Caps fans, the true Caps fans room. Some of the folks over at the Washington Caps fans room and the true Caps fans zone room also kind of mentioned this. They were all, some of them were up in arms at, why is Holtby playing against the weakest of the three teams in the week and not Copley?
Mm-hmm.
And so they questioned that. So why Copley got the start in the Winnipeg game against the stronger team as opposed to the weaker team. And I mean, they kind of had a point. I mean, if I were Todd Reirden, I think maybe you play Copley back to back, or you put Copley in net against Jersey and then give him the rest for that game and start Holtby again against the Jets. I don't know. What did you think of all that?
Well, I was one of the people that questioned why Copley wasn't in against Jersey. And I think, you know, I was like, well, I don't understand. Like, cause I didn't think that they would put him in against Winnipeg, but that is, I think, where some of us, not everybody, kind of undermine Reirden, because this allowed Holtby, who, like I just said, is, you know, that a more of a mental player, and you kind of have to be, obviously, a goalie, very intense. But for him to go into a Jersey game, Reirden probably knew it was going to be a win. So let Holtby rest on a positive note. And let's get our back, like, we have a backup goalie for a reason. You know, it's like he has to, we can't, you know, pussyfoot around and be like, oh, let's just give him the teams that aren't doing so great. No.
Interesting choice of words.
Right. You like that? I know. I've got like a mouth tonight. God, it's because I'm old.
You're not old.
Anyways, Brooks Orpik old. But my thing was like, okay, at first I was a little bit frustrated. And then I thought about it. And I was like, you know, it's kind of brilliant. Get Holtby in the right positive mindset. You know, so he's out because this upcoming week, like I said, is going to be really difficult. You put Copley in. He is a backup quarterback to the backup quarterback. Jesus Christ. See, and he threw the mojo off. Backup goalie, excuse me, to the Stanley Cup winners, you know, come on. So he's got the talent. Is, you know, people just aren't giving Copley enough credit. And I feel like we went through this last year with Grubauer. You know, it's like as soon as Grubauer is in, and God forbid a goal gets in, it's like, bah, put Holtby in. You know, everyone's just kind of being jerks about it. And then he does great. And it's like, yeah, we knew it. You know, it's back and forth, but I think Reirden truly needed to put Copley in against Winnipeg, who has the same record pretty much that we do, who is a damn good team, huge guys, and say, hey, sink or swim. We are not at the beginning of the season where you're like, not, you know, first time in the NHL kind of thing. We're well into it. You know the players. You know, we've practiced together, and now's your turn to step up to the plate and show us what you got. And I think Reirden was spot on. He did exactly what he needed to do, because now both of our goalies are in a positive mindset going up against Flyers, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay this upcoming week.
Okay. Good take. I can't say as I agree. Like I said, I would have liked to have seen Copley in against the weaker team, get him some playing time. But you know, I mean, that's just how it worked out, I guess. You know, it did work out. So
let me put it back on you. So now that Copley has kicked ass and proved himself yesterday. Because that one, I mean, honestly, the one goal that did get in, no way was any, there's no goalie that was going to be able to stop that.
No, I agree. No, there was no way. No way. No.
Yeah. He was where he was supposed to be. I've always liked the kid. I mean, I think he's got it and I like him. So in that sense, I'm like, okay, that's great. So now that he came off that Winnipeg high and, you know, I got these 7 wins, who do you put between the pipes against the Flyers?
So, okay. We're talking about the first game of the week.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, no, you mean Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry. They play tomorrow. Yes. I'm sorry. Pittsburgh, then the Flyers, then Tampa Bay.
Oh, so who? Okay.
What I'm doing is I'm asking you, who do you put in for the rest of the week?
Okay. So definitely put in Holtby against Pittsburgh because he always gets up for that game.
True. It's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I've never, even when he's been off slightly, he still comes up. For the most part, with the saves he has to come up with. So, pardon me. Definitely Holtby for that game. Now, against the Flyers, wouldn't mind seeing Copley back in. Mm-hmm. But if Holtby is feeling it and gets a shutout or pretty close to it, maybe lets in only one goal, and he's, you know, he's really feeling it, and he's starting to ride a high, like you said, and it's rolling for him. Maybe you stay with the hot hand because, you know, momentum is a very, very hard thing to hang on to. As far as, you know, the top hockey league in the world goes. So once you've got it, you don't want to let it go. You know, it's like a kid with cotton candy at the circus. So it depends on what happens in that game.
Okay.
That
was the mentality that the people who were, you know, having the what the hell, why isn't Copley playing against Jersey? You want to ride the hot hand and keep it going. And that's what Reardon did. And then it switched for Winnipeg. But I think it's more of the being in the right headspace.
All right. I see what you did there.
Do.
So maybe you didn't have a senorita moment after all.
No, I didn't.
Maybe you meant what you said.
Maybe I did.
Monday afternoon quarterback.
Right.
Okay. So touche. Good points there.
But good points to you as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm just laying out a scenario. Like I said, if Holtby's feeling it, and he gets a shutout or damn near, and he stops like something of 39 of 40. Hopefully they don't give up that many shots. But if he has a really, really good game, comes away with the win, then maybe you bring him back and start him against Philly. And then, of course, I would start him again on the Saturday game against Tampa because that's their first meeting, and you want to bring out your best. Against the best because right now they're running away with what's going to be a President's Trophy season, so you want to kind of measure up, see how everything's going to work out there. But you definitely want to bring out your top level shit, I'd love to see Holtby start against them. So he's going to finish out the week, and then they got an extended weekend. Sunday and Monday, no games. And then it's back against the Devils again on Tuesday of next week. So maybe you start Copley then. Mm-hmm. So that's a good week's stretch. And if I'd like to see that as far as the scheduling goes, give him 3 straight and then, you know, switch them up a bit. So, yeah, I think that's how. It should work out, but you know, I'm not being paid to coach the team, so eh.
It's true. Like, so I don't listen to our opinions anyway. So, anyways, yeah, all right.
Of course not. So, but finishing out the recaps, obviously is a 3-0 shutout win for the Caps against the Devils. Won't get into anything there. Nothing to see there, really. I don't agree with my broadcast partner in that it was a meh game, but I mean, nothing really stood out. Except, hold on,
Carlson.
there was a high. Well, yeah, there was that. There was another highlight that I marked. Hang on, I'm trying to catch
up. Was it an interview with Reed Cashman?
Maybe for you.
I like him.
Of course, you like him. Not many do though. We're not going to discuss that.
Okay.
All right. So trying to figure out, okay, you know what? It must have been, maybe it was the Philly game. It was the Philly game. Yes. I wanted to mention that Wilson's opener. did you see? You had to have seen Tom Wilson's goal.
Yes,
you had to have seen it. Did you see how that play kind of broke out?
Yeah, I don't want to answer this because I feel like I'm being set up for a Gil pun or something.
Well, you are, but that okay. means you have to go with it.
All right,
it's still my show.
Oh, zing!
For the time being,
yeah. Yes, I saw it. Did I see the setup? Yes.
All right. So did it bother you that Ovechkin looked like he was kind of proposing to Tom as he was passing the puck?
Not at all.
Because he was down on one knee.
He was down on one knee. And I thought it was precious.
Ovechkin down on one knee. Tommy, will you score for me?
Oh, there we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I have to put up with.
Made the pass to an open Tom Wilson who does what he does best, sets up in front of the crease. That's the game. That's the Tom Wilson I love. I love when he's skating and charging to the net too. But when he puts his huge self in front of the goalie and causes havoc, that's the Tom Wilson I love. That's.
Do you want me to tell you about the Tom Wilson that I love?
You already have many times, but if you want to, it's still kind of sort of your birthday. So go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Get it out of your system.
Nope.
You sure?
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. Sorry to backtrack there, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Go. I'm going to mute myself.
Obligation. Okay. So I will go ahead and vamp for a bit while you take care of your familial obligation. Okay. So on to the third and final game of the week. That was, and we've already discussed it to some extent. That was the game back at home against the Jets. We kind of billed it as the revenge game, but as Lisa Desbray pointed out, it was Josh Morrissey who put the WWE move on Oshie that put him out for a while. And he was not dressed for this game because he was actually out. He was out injured. So there wasn't going to be that. But there was Tanev who put the headhunting hit on Kuzi. And as we already discussed, maybe... you and I discussed this off air, but there was kind of a bit of sweet nothings whispered by Tom Wilson, not so sweet nothings whispered by Tom Wilson to Mr. Tanev as far as what he wanted to do about that. Very, very interesting. But into the game itself. Okay, so we look at the scoring, and Nick Backstrom with another killer shot with his 18th. Oh, thing of beauty. Just hell of a shot. Assisted by Carlson, who got his 50th assist. And as the boys on NBCSNDC pointed out, that was his back-to-back 50 assist season, which rivals great defensemen of years past, such as Larry Murphy, what? And Scott Stevens, two names from the past. If you're a longtime follower of the team, like a certain Mr. Stuart Small and maybe Bernie Deal, I'm sure you guys remember those names. I sure do. So that opened the scoring at 4:35. Ex-cap Matt Perreault, almost 2 minutes later, well, he couldn't help but score. He was sitting all alone in front of the net there, like Ann and I just discussed. No way in hell any goalie is going to catch up to that. So he ties it, and on to the second we go. And so it remained tied until 14:32 of the second, when Nick Dowd corralled the puck in his own, in front of the net in his own zone, and made I can't find any other word for it. Absolutely succulent pass.
No. Oh my God. Two words I hate the most. Moist and succulent. No.
I'm doing my best to stifle a laugh. Moist? What do you have against moist?
Everything. It's ew.
A lot of good things. A lot of good things that are moist are good things.
Like what? Exactly. Well, like
things
do you
that
ever...
I can't talk about. Things I can't talk about here without either.
No, even then, moist. Like, use damp.
Damp? Okay, so that sounds worse. Damp sounds like you have a chance for the wetness to cause some sort of disease. That's what damp sounds like.
Moist sounds disgusting. It's just
moist makes it sound like it's at least edible in some fashion.
No, it doesn't.
Why not?
If anyone describes something as moist, I'm like, turned off. Nope. It's gross. Like I don't eat sweets anyways, but whenever there's like on the side of cupcakes or cake mix, and it's like moist, I'm like gross. Nope. I freaking hate that word, and I cannot believe of all the words. Like I never even told you how much I hate both those words, and you go and take a Nick Dowd fucking fabulous pass and use the word succulent. No. Nope.
Okay, well, I've been sufficiently dressed down for speaking proper English, but...
No, succulent is not a way to describe a goal. It's not a way to describe a sport or an activity.
Because it has suck in it?
No. It's just like, I think when someone says, oh, it's succulent, I get that, I would think of food. But I would never use that word in reference to any sport, let alone hockey. Okay. Is that you dinging me or somebody else? Oh, no, never mind.
No, that was BJ Oshie the cat trying to use my keyboard for his own personal exerciser.
How succulent of BJ.
Yeah.
Making things moist.
Yeah. Look, okay, so you just perpetrated those two words yourself.
Yes.
Right now.
I will tell you right now, if we were to take a poll on how many people hate the word moist.
I'd like to take a poll to something right now.
Yeah? Something succulent? Right? Something.
We are going bad road.
I know. So anyways, let's just go back to that. But that Nick Dowd, okay, I will agree. Not on your terminology.
It was an awesome pass. It was a sight to see. It was
amazing.
As you said, fucking fantastic.
Yes. There we go.
To a streaking, how appropriate, as that's what the Caps are on are doing now. Carl Hagelin broke into the zone with the puck, easily beat the defense, and put a wrister past Connor Hellebuck, making it 2-1, and that would end up being the winning goal, and the Tiger would seal it with 22 seconds left in the game with an empty netter.
Yeah. Let's just say, I don't know. I'm like, there was something about, maybe not so much for me, but I was hoping for you. I hope you would have acknowledged, and I call him Hags, whether or not people want to or not, redeeming himself as the Caps player on that play. I happen to think that he's done really well in all of the games that he's played with us.
Okay. On that point, yes, I will give the man his due. Maybe he ought to have a moisturizer put in, is the only fault other than that cross-checking penalty. Mm-hmm. He took, which actually, if you think about it, really wasn't a penalty because the cross-checking, he took two penalties in this game. I mean, that fortunately didn't negate the goal he scored.
Right.
But that's the shit I'm talking about, though. That's the one thing I will take him to task about. Winnipeg got 5 freaking power plays in this game. 5. And fortunately, the Caps PK, which Hagelin is a part of, so if he's committing 2 penalties, that's 2 of them he was out for.
Mm-hmm.
But you give a team like Winnipeg 5 power plays, you're kind of playing with fire there. And no amount of moisture is going to put out that fire.
Mm. What's that word?
Well, you started it.
I did. And I apologize to all of the listeners who hate that word as much as I do. But okay. But whatever. I like the guy. I honestly don't get as annoyed with him in penalties as I do with Orlov.
I did not say.
Well, you were a little negative when he first came on.
I did not say I didn't like his play. I know that. I still am to a small extent, but I am willing to admit also that he earned more than a little respect from me. Caps fans community, Russian machine say, hey, he's no longer a villain. He fits in nicely with the team. Great. That's great to hear that he's doing that. Again, takes very bad penalties at very inopportune. And I just wonder, if he does this come playoff time, you know, is it going to be costly? And it turned out in this game it wasn't, but you never know. So this is one aspect of his game that I don't like.
Okay. I don't really care for his hair, but and whatever.
I already made a suggestion about that. I mean, can't go any further with that. I'm not a world-renowned hairstylist or anything like that.
That's true.
Taking a look at the stats, my God, yeah. You kind of wonder where this game went and how the Caps ended up winning. But, I mean, it came down to the Caps making the best plays at the best, fortunately. Shots on goal, 34-18. Good Lord. Jets damn near doubled up the Caps in shots.
Right.
Muy no bueno. Face-offs, ooh, even worse. 64.8 win percentage for the Jets. Now, some say that that stat doesn't move the needle. And again, in this game, it turns out that it didn't. But, you know, face-offs are a funny thing. If you win it, you recover the puck, and you're in the offensive zone, well, then right away, you've got pretty much what amounts to a scoring chance. But if you win it in the defensive zone, you know, it doesn't matter as much. So it's a funny thing. It really is.
I agree. I think previously I mentioned that one of the biggest issues I'm having with the Caps is the amount of goals that are being made within the first minute of a game, or, you know, as soon as there's a face off, it's like it's seriously killing us. And that's, yeah. But anyways, but yeah, I think if I had not seen the Winnipeg game and I just was looking at the stats, I would be shocked to say that the Capitals won. But watching
absolutely. Watching the game. See, and this is the kind of thing that makes, you know, watching the game more fun, because it's, you have to see the whole thing to carve out the nuances, the subtle things, the body language, who plays well along the boards, that kind of a thing. It's the little things that don't make it to the score sheet that tell all, or end up telling all.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, looking at everything on paper, yeah, it's shocking, because, you know, let's move on. Power play had a sucky night. 0-2 for the Caps, 0-5 for Winnipeg, as I said. Now the hitting game is the only place the Caps, 25 hits to 10. To 15 for the Jets. And the possession game, less giveaways for the Jets, more takeaways for the Jets. So, again, on paper, it looks like, you know, the Jets had a better game, when in fact they, and again, it came down to your opportunities, which is what the Caps did. So, and that's why I'm not too worried, but, you know, again, now the playoffs is a totally different animal. And yes, while you make good on your opportunities, it's giving opportunities as well. And there's still some bad habits that I'm seeing that need to be refined.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree. And I think that Reardon is the kind of coach that we have seen from the beginning, where he brought the players back to the basics. And I think that he will do that again going into the playoffs, because, you know, we finally toned down making those ridiculous fancy passes and it not working in our favor. But I think that he has the lines down. Just exactly how they should be. Although I was Yaskin was playing, but that's okay. But I think that he's one that goes, you know, he's going to go back to the basics. And I think that is, yeah, it's only going to work in their favor come playoff time. You know, there are things that need to be done and tightened, and he's going to drill that over and over and over again, even though it seems like the most basic thing that needs to be done, passing or, you know, whatever it is. But everyone needs to, you know, go back and train a little bit harder and focus a little bit more and get going. So I think Reardon will be one to take all that and, you know, tighten up the boys a little bit more in the future games.
Now, good point. Now one of the bad habits I mentioned is that, again, they're relying on the goaltending to bail them out a little too much for my liking. And this was, I thought, another example of Phoenix Copley ended up facing 34 shots, stopped all but one of them.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, that's a dangerous game.
True. But if you look at who our defense lineup is, I mean, Carlson is having a phenomenal season. I love Kempney all over the ice and good. I mean, like, I just, you know, and you have, Jensen, I don't want to talk about Orlov, but Orpik, you know, it's there. But Winnipeg is a unique situation though, because if you look at the players, their ages, it's a young team, you know, but they're huge. I mean, I think the average height on the team is like 6'4". So you have a lot of big, young, powerful players in a big old hockey city. And, you know, this is what they're going to do. And so, you know, I don't think that we expected, I don't know. Are you making fun of me?
No. Not at all.
It sounded like you were laughing. I was like, what?
No.
Okay. No worries. It could be from here. I don't know what it sounded like you were snickering, which no. I'm all good with. But no, I just don't think that the Caps were quite, they were there. I don't think they were, they didn't, yeah, they could have, you know, covered Copley a little bit more. And I agree. Like, don't ever put it up in one player's hands. You know, it's a team effort. Everyone needs to step up. So, but I think, you know, the Jets just seem to be that kind of unique team because young and they're huge. So who knows? I'm not making excuses though.
No, that all good points again, and which kind of surprises me in the fact that they ended up hitting them.
Right.
And I finally got the power play percentage leaders on my app. And the Jets are actually fifth in the league, scoring at a 25% clip on the power play. So stopping all five chances, I don't want to say they should count themselves lucky, but that don't happen a lot.
I agree.
And later on in the week, they're going to be facing a team that's even better on the power play in the Lightning. They're scoring at a 28.6% clip, leading the league. Big surprise there. So, yeah, the message here that I'm trying to put out is, guys, do not give up five frickin' power plays to a team that's good at scoring on the power play. All right.
Right.
Don't do it. And don't over rely on your goalie to bail you out, because you can't do it all.
Agreed.
So yeah, I mean, again, hate to harp on the bad things, but you kind of have to, you're always looking to improve. So you kind of have to look for the bad things to fine tune your team. And that's a couple of things that I'm seeing that I'm not liking, unfortunately, out of a big pile of good that I am liking. So thus endeth the hockey week. And as we said, they're going into the next three games facing two out of three that are headed for the playoffs, or at least in a playoff spot right now, and one that's chasing one in Philly. So very interesting three games that are coming up. I'm glad it's a Tuesday that they're playing and not a Wednesday. So Mrs. Blue Liner won't be, spitting curses at the TV because she has to put up with the NBC guys, NBC Sports Network, that is, not our hometown guys, because she absolutely can't stand them.
Loves
Joe B and Locker. She does.
I do too. Don't get me started on the other guys.
As do I. And yeah, I don't want, yeah. I, yeah. So very, very interesting game. I think that's a very pivotal game. If they can, they need to muster all they can for that, because that's I don't want to say that's going to be a make or break game, but they have to get up for that. It's a division rival, and they're going to have to come out with their best. All right. So thus ended the week. Nothing special going on as far as event wise, that as far as charities, at least so Anna tells me. Want to end with one message. Okay, so we're going to turn into PBS again, and because it's that time of year. Podbean, when I started the account with them, it was around this time of year. So we have to renew our membership with them, and that don't come cheap. So I am making the appeal now. To our loyal listeners, whatever you feel like contributing and donating, please contact Anna or myself, because storage space costs, production items cost, equipment incurs a cost, and we don't charge for this podcast. You do listen for free. Not that we're complaining. We love doing this, but if anybody listening out there, anybody and everybody listening out there would like to help us, we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. If you go to the website, the show website, there is a link to donate, or you can, if you want to donate through alternative means, you can, like I said, contact either one of us and take care of that. So sorry to be, please, sir, can I have some more? But I just wanted to put that out there because 'tis the season. So Anna's got a date with a pork chop.
With meatloaf.
That too.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention a beefcake named Tom Wilson.
That's tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to wrap it up for another week of Caps Hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna, I don't suppose you have any final thoughts for the week?
I don't.
You don't. Okay. So with that, this is the Blue Liner on Point for Anna Knox signing off. And not to spoil Anna's dinner, but reminding you that innuendo is not Italian for where to insert a suppository.
Gross.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Moist and succulent. No. Oh, everything. It's ew. 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 Y'all. God. That's so gross.